What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, and we're in pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 15th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I want to apologize in advance. I don't think I'm going to have time tomorrow to record this podcast. Why? Because I have to draft my Tout Wars team at 10 a.m. Eastern time in the Upper West Side, which means it's about an hour for me to get there. And I'm going to try and write the article first. I'll give you that. So tomorrow, to get your information, you just got to go and read the SP roundup, of course, on the website. But I will talk to you right now about this. And also, on Monday, we are going to start doing it live streamed on YouTube. So you can actually watch the SP roundup, the Plus Pitch podcast, moving forward, which is going to be really exciting. And also, we launched our live draft assistant web app, which looks so good. I posted it on Twitter, and you guys should just get PL Pro and use that for your snake drafts. It is so beautiful. It is awesome and uses our PLV projections, not the other ones that you know. We have spent so much time working on these, and they will help you out in your drafts. Okay, news to know, it's really about the Rangers. Matt Waldron, of course, missing time with an oblique injury, but that's not really important. That's on the Padres. We know it's Stephen Kolek as SP5. You don't really want to go for that. But no, the Rangers are losing not just Cody Bradford for 4 weeks with an elbow injury, but at least, by the way, but John Gray took a comebacker to his wrist, and it fractured it, meaning that he's not going to throw for at least 6 weeks. And that doesn't mean when he's returning, that's just when he's not going to throw, and then he needs to ramp up and return. That'll be 2 months. And, well, you know, there's not going to be a place for him. He's going to turn into a closer then. Let me tell you, that's it. It's going to happen. I'm just kidding. It might make a lot of sense, though, if he isn't stretched out. Long story short, the Rangers have gone to a full rotation to Nathan Eovaldi, and then Jacob deGrom being the SP5, with Tyler Mahle now not sure if he's okay because he had some forearm soreness, but he's all right, but is he? And Gray is out and Bradford is out. So Jack Leiter, he has a rotation spot in my view. The thing is, there's one other spot open, maybe two if Mally's not ready, but let's say Mahle is, then you have Adrian Hauser and Kumar Rocker. I think it's going to be Adrian Hauser. Kumar Rocker has not looked good this spring at all. And Adrian Hauser has. He's still up over a tick, if not two, at 95 miles per hour. Also, they got Hauser for this exact thing to get depth out of him. Makes all the sense. You put him in here, and then you fine-tune Kumar Rocker in the minors until he's fully ready to go to handle left-handers. All right. Looking at everyone else from yesterday's games, Logan Allen in Cleveland did not look good. Or not did look. Didn't look great, I should say. And I don't think that he's going to be anywhere near the SP6. I think that's Joey Cantillo easily for the Guardians. Emerson Hancock, you're holding on for that SP5 spot. And you went 4 innings of 0 runs, and that's cool. 1 strikeout for 6 hits, 0 walks. You don't want this. Andrew Heaney, 4 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. The cutter isn't really there. This isn't really a staggering start for Andrew Heaney that would in any way convince me to draft him. Best ball leagues, maybe, because he's going to have some amazing strikeout starts here and there, but yeah, you don't want to go after Andrew Heaney. Kider Montero is still fighting for an SP5 spot on the Tigers, and maybe he gets it. It's possible. I still think the Tigers are going to do a split piggyback with Kenta Maeda and Jackson Job, but he is present in the conversation, and he's sadly not having the four-seamer that made me kind of excited, or at least more interested with better metrics under the hood, but it's the same one from last year in this game. But it was 4 innings of 0 runs, 4 base runners, and 4 strikeouts. So maybe Kider Montero is on the radar for the Tigers. You have Kodai Senga not looking good. 3.1 innings of 2 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. His velocity is down to 93-94, which is over 2 ticks. That said, he was also experimenting a lot with just 5 cutters that had less movement and velocity. The ghost fork was thrown just 6 times with 8 sweepers, and none of them earned whiffs. So that's 0 for 14 for those 2 secondaries. I think this was just an experimentation game, of a ramp-up game for Kodai Senga. That's what I'm going to hope, but it is worrisome. We haven't seen Kodai Senga look good since 2023 at this point. And I wanted to be blown away to be shown, yes, it's Kodai Senga. I think if it's not there in the next one, I'm actually going to be like really scared. about Senga and move him down my draft. But I'm a little tepid right now. And considering that Senga's kind of going where there's still really good locked value, I don't feel like you need to go and get Senga instead. Michael McGreevy might be getting the starts over Matthew Liberatore if there's an opportunity. And of course, Andre Plante's been showcasing diminished ability this spring. And he went 4 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. That is Michael McGreevy. So maybe he does get that spot in the end. I don't think there's much here. It's just sinker slider to right-handers and not much to lefties. Carlos Carrasco and Alan Winans each pitch at least 3 innings for the Yankees to see, hey, are you guys good enough to be the SP5 instead of Will Warren? Because we'd like to go with an NRI, a non-roster invitee, and take advantage of that depth that we have instead of just going with Will Warren and then losing both of these guys. Well, Carlos Carrasco, 3.1 innings of 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. His velocity was not 90 miles per hour, it was 92. Yes, not 93, but still 92. And he had good changeups to right-handed batters, a slider, not as well spotted and got hit a bit. And, you know, there's certain elements here for Carrasco that need to be worked upon. But this is feasible. You know, this is decent. And I think the Yankees are going to actually lean in Carlos Carrasco, at least in the beginning, as their SP5 just to get some value out of that. While Alan Winans, I don't think, is doing enough. It's probably Cookie's job. Taiwan Walker, 4 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He's sitting 92, not 93 to 94, and just 3 whiffs in this, and he doesn't have an open spot. Like, it's not Taiwan Walker. You have Ryan Feltner, 1.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. And yeah, he's not anything you'd want, of course. Adrian Hauser, as I was mentioning before, went 2.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And I really just think that it's Adrian Hauser, guys. I know it sounds crazy because Kumar Rocker in a different game went 2.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. And it's just more of the same. Kumar Rocker really had an opportunity here to demand it. 95.8 mile per hour fastballs. It's not there yet. And Dane Dunning, 1.2 innings of 300 runs now. Okay. You have Graham Ashcraft, 2.2 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 2 strikeouts. He should not be starting, and you know this. Chase Petty pitched in a different game, 3 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Those 4 walks, because none of his pitches returned a 60% strike rate or higher, while his secondaries between the changeup and slider had about a 40% strike rate. Oh boy. Now, that said, I think this is an anomaly game for Petty, and he's still hard to hit with just 1 hit allowed and 1 earned run, right? So I'm still very much interested in Chase Petty. When he does get his starts this year, I'm definitely taking a spec at when he does. Eduardo Rodriguez, 3.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. How did he do it? Well, he got 2 extra inches of vert on his four-seamer, up to 16 to 17 inches. That's good, but it went 1 for 23 whiffs, and he didn't elevate the pitch. It is a tick up at like 92, but again, not really that exciting. It's not like the 94, 95 of old. And he had some good changeups down and away to right-handers, and he got some whiffs for that. But a lot of these pitchups, like, right down the middle. In other words, don't trust spring a lot when it comes to success. All right, just look at the data. Data is what's important. Speaking of data, we saw the same stuff with Max Meyer that we've been seeing, and Richard Fitz as well. And what's interesting is I really want to lay down what the expectations should be for these two guys. Because we've been propping them up saying, oh man, look at this. They're doing all these crazy good things. That's nice. Where it's settling is not like a prototypical top 25 starter or something like that. It's showcasing, hey, there might be value in 12-teamers. And at first, Fitz was showing something more than that. You know, at 97 plus, right? 97, 98. He's in 96 now. And so is Max Meyer. And Max Meyer's pitch metrics are not as good. That is the four-seamer shape. 1.2 height-adjusted VAA is good, but it's not absurd. And 15 inches of vert is not what we want it to be. But it is a good 90-mile-per-hour slider. It's the same slider from last year, just harder, and it went 5 for 17 whiffs. He has this 85-mile-per-hour sweeper, and it's not as good. It's not quite polished for Max Meyer, but I like him. I just hate the team context a lot, and I feel as if it's not quite enough for me to really jump in. Like, I would test the waters, and this could be good, but it might just end up being a hipster situation as opposed to definitive, I am so happy I drafted Max Meyer and I'm rolling with it. I don't know. So we'll see how that turns out. And same thing kind of thing with Fitz. At least he's in a better situation. It's not a fun home park, but at least he'll get a better defense with Bregman finally being at third base and Devers DHing. And then you have also Fitz with a better offense. But it is 96, and not the best four-seamer pitch marks underneath, right? Not the greatest attack angle and et cetera. 6.5 extension. But it is a good slider underneath. He's got six pitches that he goes between. Like, it can work, but it's not necessarily that much better than, like, Cutter Crawford, right? So my hype for Fitz is coming down a bit. What I will say is you're trying to decide who is the best late-round flyer. To me, it's Drew Rasmussen, because Zach Littell went two innings of six earned runs, seven hits, three walks, and two Ks. The word is that everybody around camp is talking endlessly about Rasmussen, and we're going to get a look at him today. So I'm just going to tell you this. If Rasmussen looks good as a good line, and we have watched the game, and his report is 95 velocity or whatever it is, just get Drew Rasmussen of all of these, okay? We won't have data, and I will not have the podcast tomorrow, but I'll have the article, and I'll tell you everything about that there. Chris Paddock, four innings, 200 runs, four hits, zero walks, and six Ks. I'll tell you more about that, and of course the other games from yesterday, after this break. Chris Paddock, four innings, 200 runs, four hits, zero walks, and six strikeouts. It's kind of interesting. Paddock and Mize remind me of each other massively. Paddock is at 94-95, Mize at 95-96, sure, but they both have about 18 inches of vert at 17 feet of extension, and also a secondary that is a split change for Paddock, a splitter for Mize, and a struggle with anything breaking. They both don't have that slider or curve that really works. The Paddock tries to make the curve work. I don't believe it. He also tried to make the slider work. It's not very good. And I'm tepid about it. I want to be more in on Paddock. I really do. I just don't love that he doesn't have a good slider or a curveball. And I don't know if the fastball is enough. And the split change isn't as reliable as I want. But it, you know, he's going to have those games and everyone goes, oh my gosh. Yeah, hipster land. That's what he's in. You have Spencer Schmellenbach doing great things. 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 Ks, 0 walks, 4 hits. Everything's great. You draft him. Just Jackson Rutledge went for the Nationals. 3 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout and hit. Austin Riley, and he's okay apparently. Ugh, how could you do that to us? Also, these are no data starts now with starting with Schmellenbach. You've got Yusei Kikuchi, 4.1 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, but 8 strikeouts. Welcome to the land of hipster, heading-inducing pitchers, stifling the entire roster. Not the kind of guy I want to draft just because of the roster management in season. And Michael Wacha, 3.1 innings of 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. There'll be days like that, but Michael Wacha will also have those starts of 6 innings and 5 Ks and good ratios, and you'll be happy. In the other games, we have four others left. Joey Estes went for the Athletics. 4 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He's kind of the safety of command versus the volatility but stuff of Beto. And I think that Mitch Spence is the combination of the two and should have a spot for the Athletics. Well, I'll probably Estes over Beto, but we'll see what happens with the Athletics. Maybe you just go 6-man because all three of those should be starting regularly. And then you have Tyler Anderson, 3.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 10 base runners with 3 walks and 3 Ks. Do not draft that. Nestor Cortez had 7 Ks in 3.1 innings, but 9 base runners and 3 earned runs. I still think that Cortez is a good 12-teamer play with a possibility of being a 12-teamer. Hayden Wesneski is someone that people have been talking about a little bit being forgotten. I've seen 3.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Thing is, I see Wesneski as a worse version of Brandon Pfaadt. And you guys know I'm not really in on Pfaadt because Wesneski has a good sweeper, but then nothing else, really. And at least it's for the Astros, but I don't think there's enough here. Maybe you want to bank on the Astros fixing this, but I don't. Jordan Hicks is also an interesting situation. It's 2.2 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. And I wonder if they should be reconsidering Hicks in this rotation. You have Verlander, you have Webb, and you have Ray. Like, you know those three are locked. Now, it does look like it's Landon Robb because he struck out 13 batters in a minor league game in the backfield over 5 innings. So much so that Bob Melvin did not go to the other game and went to the Robb game just to watch this, okay? And it seems like he's very much in, which means Harrison would be out, Keaton Wynn and Hayden Birdsong as well. Or maybe Hicks is out because I don't think Hicks works as a starter. I just don't. And I think you just move him back to the pen, and then you go with one of those other guys, maybe Hayden Birdsong or Kyle Harrison, whatever it is. Yarmil Rodriguez won 3.2 innings of two earned runs, three hits, three walks, and four Ks, because it's as if he was just starting midseason last year, and you don't want to do this. David Festa, unfortunately, went 3.1 innings of six earned runs, seven hits, two walks, two Ks. And when I look at the entire situation for the Twins, you have Chris Paddock, you have Simeon Woods Richardson, Zebby Matthews, and David Festa. Festa looks like the one who's on the most outs at the moment. There's only two spots. So I think it's between Zebby Matthews and Simeon Woods Richardson at this point, with Paddock in and Festa out, unfortunately. I'm curious to see how he looks when he comes back this year. Festa's sure to get that opportunity at some point, and we'll talk about him then. And Tomoyuki Sugano, 3.1 innings of zero earned runs, one hit, one walk, and four Ks. Well, I mean, I believe he hasn't allowed an earned run, at least maybe it's just one of them throughout this entire spring. The scouting report was a command-focused arm, and you can do that if you're a lefty with a really good changeup. So I can see this being a 12-teamer Vargas role out of the gate with the Orioles, and he's a good sleeper play if you need just some extra volume, something safer, trying to chase wins. Sugano could be that guy. All right, that is it for today. Wish me luck at Tout Wars tomorrow. You can watch it, and actually it'll be live streamed by Justin Mason, I believe, or maybe it's Jason Collette. You can go to the Tout Wars Twitter handle to find out where to watch that. But wish me luck there, and I hope I do all right. Sorry I will not have a podcast tomorrow. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.